You know, we don't talk about this Global Missions Month and Global Mission Offering because, hey, it's a good thing to do in November. It's because this is a command we've been given and a privilege we've been given by our King Jesus and by our Heavenly Father. Because He sent His Son into this world to live a sin-free life. Now, sometimes we say He sent His Son into this world to live a perfect life, and we mean He lived a life perfectly without sin. However, it doesn't mean He had a perfect life free of challenges, a life free of sacrifice, a life free of temptation, because He was fully God and fully man, and yet He did not sin. And so we say He lived a life free of sin. He did not commit one sin, and He did that so that He could be the final sacrifice for you and for me. So that when He went to the cross, it was enough. And He was the only one and only thing that could ever be enough for me and for you. In fact, it was more than enough. It was perfect. And so we take this month to say, hey, you know, we often hear about how, man, we had a great t-ball camp, we had a great soccer camp, we got to help with a festival that was run here in the community, and we got to give away some Bibles, we got to pray for some people, and we hear some amazing testimonies like we're going to hear at the end of our service today from Liz about a life that's been changed by the power of Jesus. And we want to talk about, so not just our role here in South Calgary and across Alberta, we also want to hear about, so what is our part? Now, there may be one of you that, as you ask the question, what is our part in taking the good news of Jesus to the whole world? God may be doing a work in your heart to say, you know, yeah, we give an offering and that's good. And I'm so glad that we send other people to be able to go. And yet God may be stirring in your heart doing a little something different. He may be saying, yeah, and you need to be a part of one of the ones that goes. He might just be taking you from Calgary across the world. I don't know. But God certainly knows. And the people that we're going to hear from that have served overseas, that are serving overseas, you know, there was one point where they were sitting probably in a family just like this, a church family just like this, when they thought, man, that's cool that other people are going across the world to take the good news of Jesus to those people. I want us all to be open to the fact that it could be you or me. God can do anything with any of His people at any time. The theme of this month for our Global Missions Month is, I also send you. And these are the direct words of Jesus. They're the words of Jesus when He was praying for Himself. He was praying for His disciples that He had gathered. He was praying for every follower of His that would come after His disciples. He also gave this commission, this quote, when He went to the cross, was resurrected from the dead, and appeared to His disciples again in John chapter 20. And so we're going to look this morning at John 17, and then we're going to go to John 20. John 17, we're going to start in verse 15, but let me just catch you up to speed a little bit on what's going on. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and He knows that it's the eve of His time. He knows that He was sent into this world for this purpose, to glorify God, His Heavenly Father, and everything He did. To go to the cross, to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sin, of all sin. He knew this was His role. He knew this was His purpose. And so, He began to pray. He went and got by Himself. He went and He prayed. And He prayed aloud. And His disciples obviously heard Him praying because John records the prayer in this book of John. John chapter 17, we're picking up again with Jesus praying. John has recorded the prayer, and it can be recorded into three different kind of frames of thought. If we follow Jesus' prayer, He starts off by praying for Himself, that God would indeed be glorified in everything that Jesus has done and Jesus will do. He wants His Heavenly Father to be glorified above all else. And then Jesus prays for His followers, in particular the 12 or 11, because Judas betrayed Jesus, but He prays for them. And He says, God, I ask that You would protect them, because just like I am in the world, I'm not going to be in the world very much longer, but they're going to be here, and people hated me here because of my message. They didn't believe me, and they hated me, and in fact, that's part of the reason why they're taking me to the cross. They think it's because they hate me, but you and I know it's because I have to give myself as a sacrifice. And so He says, these guys are going to be hated, so He prays that God would protect them. He says, God, protect them by the name that you've given me, and now I give them your children. He prays for his followers, and we pick up in verse 15. John chapter 17, verse 15. Now remember, he says, they're in the world, so they're around people that don't believe that I am the Son of God. They don't believe it. Here it is. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Verse 20 says, I pray not only for these, that is these 11, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So can I just say, as we end that little excerpt there, now the prayer starts before that and it goes on beyond that. But for Global Missions Month, we wanted to look at the fact that Jesus said, I sent them out. God, you sent me, and so I'm sending them. And then he prays. Do you know that if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, that Jesus prayed for you right here? That's amazing. Because he said, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them. I set myself apart for them so that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus prayed for all that would believe through the gospel. That's amazing. Amazing. And now he was praying in the people in that context for their protection, right? Because they were being persecuted, and he said they would be persecuted, they would be hated, they would be put in prison, they would be killed. But he had to do what he did in order for forgiveness of sin to come. The word sanctify in verse 17, it refers to a life that is so aligned with God that it reflects God's passions completely for good, against evil. Such a person can be considered sanctified, holy, attached to God's purposes and presence. In this case, Jesus understands that a complete attachment to the truth discovered in God's word will be the means of achieving this holiness. One more time. In this case, Jesus understands that a complete attachment to the truth discovered in God's word will be the means of achieving this holiness. That is, when we give our lives over to God and say, God, I can't be in control anymore. I can't do this on my own. And when we relinquish control, we say, you know what? Jesus really did what he said he came to do. He really is who he says he is. And I want to put all of my trust and my hope in him and him alone. When we say that and we confess that and ask him to forgive us of our sins, that is, we receive the forgiveness he's already provided us, and we follow after him all of our days, then we become a person aligned with this truth, and we are set on a course to be a follower of Jesus, to be a pursuer of his truth, to live out his truth. And there's a process there. It's a process of sanctification, of continuing to be set apart. Because we serve a big God, don't we? A God that provided for all of humanity. Not only did he create every person that's ever been on this earth, but he provides the only way to a right relationship with him. He's a big enough God that we will spend the rest of our days not just knowing about him, but knowing him. Okay? If you're here and you are in either a marriage relationship or maybe you're in a long-term friendship, you know that you know more about that person. Okay? It doesn't matter how old we are. We all have friends. Okay? If you don't have a friend, come talk to me. Okay? We'll be your friend. All right? But we all know what that's like. Do you know that person better than the first day you met them? The answer is yes, right? A real friendship, a real relationship, you know that person better than the first day you met them. And there's always something you're discovering about them. Just when you think you got them figured out, they throw you a curveball, hey? And it doesn't matter if they're young or old. If you're a parent here, you know this is the case with your kids. You're like, no, my kid always does this. And then when you tell somebody that, your kid does the opposite of that, right? There's always something to learn. God created every person unique in this world. And it's because he's not only a creative God, but because he is God. He is eternal. And he created people for relationship with him, to know you and to know me. And he's provided for that. He's a big God. And so we dedicate ourselves to his truth. And we go through this process of always knowing him more and more and more. And then he says, yeah, I pray that not only have I sent these out and that you would protect them, but I also pray for those that will come after them, that they're going to go tell people about me. They're going to go tell people about God's kingdom. And people are going to believe. And then there's going to be people that sit inside Century Hall at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and they're going to sing my praises. And they're going to try to get to know their neighbors and their friends, and they're going to ask for ways, how do I share this? Well, Jesus goes on in verse 21, he goes on to say, God, would you make them one in us as I am one in you? He says, I want unity with these people, for them to have unity with each other and unity with us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let me show you also John chapter 20, verse 21. Can you put that one up there, Braden? Thanks, buddy. Faithful. Oh, yeah. Faithful. Again, Jesus has now been to the cross. He has been crucified. He's been put in a tomb, and God has risen him from the dead. And he suddenly appears in the room where his disciples are huddled together, and they fear the Jews because they just saw the Jews chanting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, to the one that they call Lord and King. And so they're wondering what's next. Jesus is gone, so now what? Now Jesus prepared them for this. He knew they were going to struggle, though. And so when Jesus is resurrected, he comes back to show his disciples what I said is true. I'm the cornerstone, now I'm rebuilding the temple. He said, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And this is something that doesn't just go to those that were gathered in that room. This is something that goes to us here in this room. That we must say, if I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, he did what he said he came to do, and I put my hope and my trust in him and him alone. Have you heard that before? If you've been here to Southlands, you've heard that. If that's the case, if that's me, then Jesus didn't just send his son into this world to save me. He also sent his son into this world to send me. This faith is not just for me. This faith is for everybody. And I need to let this faith show through me. I need to be in the process of sanctification to not only know more of God, but to look more and more like God every passing day. To reflect his character, to reflect his goodness in my actions and in my words. And as we're sent out, that's the reason why we do things like block parties and sports camps, and we cook thousands of pancakes on the pancake breakfast here for Stampede, and we set up our inflatables. It's the reason why you come out to those sort of things. It's the reason why you are having conversations with your neighbors. And I get it. It doesn't matter if you're more of an introverted person or an extroverted person, because we have people right in this room here who say, you know what, Bo, every time you talk about us talking to our friends and neighbors, some of you are like, oh man, yeah, I had like 6 conversations this morning before church. It was awesome. You know, like you've never met a stranger. They don't have to be your friend to hear about Jesus from you. You're just going to tell them. And then there's those of us over here that maybe are going, you know, Bo, every time you talk about that on Sunday morning, like a little bit of anxiety starts to raise up in me. I don't know how to do it. The good news is that it doesn't matter if we're a person on this end of the spectrum or this end of the spectrum. It really, guys, it doesn't matter how many we talk to. It doesn't matter. What matters is obedience. It doesn't matter how we go about that, as long as it's in a godly, biblical way, okay? It's obedience. To say, God, you know, I may not be able to talk to a ton of people, but God, the people that you have given me, I want to be faithful. I pray for them. And when the opportunity arises, God, would you give me the strength to open my mouth and let it be your words, not mine? And on this end of the spectrum, to say, God, help me not to scare people. Right? God, help me to do it when you present the opportunity that I'm not trying to pry something open that's not meant to be opened at that moment. You feel me? Some of you feeling a little convicted? That's good, right? As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is something that we have to remember, Southwinds Church. God loved us so much that He sent His Son for us. Not just so that we could have this nice little faith and I could come to a community center on a Sunday morning and sing praises and listen to somebody talk for a little while and have kind of a nice feeling on a Sunday morning. It was meant so that we would share it. And it was meant so that we would give sacrificially to help others that God has called for them to go and share it. We are sent out. We talk about that every week. This is meant to be an inspiration for us, not a guilt trip for us. Now, if we're experiencing little conviction because we know we haven't been taking it out of this room, then you know what? The good news is we can deal with conviction. With conviction, all we have to do is say, God, I want to repent right now. I have not been doing that, and God, I want to do the opposite of that. I want to be available and willing to talk to people, and I want to pray for people. Conviction is good, because God knows how to deal with that.